Good evening. Welcome to Council Connection for January of 2017. I'm your host, Steve Dresser. This month, as usual, we'll be talking to BSCB President Brian Charlson. We'll hear from Mary Haroyan, the chair of the membership committee. But first, we hear from Bob Hache with a special report on cable set-top box accessibility. Good evening, Bob. Welcome to the show and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you as well and all the rest of the Council Connection listeners out there. Hope you all had a nice holiday season. And now we're ready to face the brunt of old man winter.
Yes, we are.
But at least we've got something new to play with, haven't we?
Yes, we do. And it's just in time for the winter. And that is for those of us on Verizon, of which I think there may be, well, I know of you and me.
Yep.
And one other person that I know of is on Verizon, and there may be more, but I don't know who they are. So
I'm thinking there probably are more. We just don't happen to know who they are.
Yeah, it seems to be the best-kept secret of life in Boston, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? It seems like, well, you know, I wonder if a lot of blind people moved over to Comcast that maybe weren't there because they had gotten this accessible, you know, cable box feature.
Yeah, it's possible. Because we know that Verizon took its sweet time about getting this.
They sure did. They got it just in under the wire here, didn't they?
Yes, they did. But to their credit, they did.
And they did a good job of it, I think.
Yeah, it does work. I was pleasantly surprised, first of all, to find out. And now, interesting thing is that the publicity for it did not that wasn't immediately out.
To use the old English phrase, Steve, the publicity of this deal was found wanting.
Yes, it absolutely was.
Because there wasn't much, if any. And ACB ended up putting stuff on.
Well, yeah, ACB knew about it. The people in the Audio Description Project knew about it.
Here's the way it happened. It's very interesting. I was thinking, okay, we're getting closer to the deadline. I've been calling Verizon over and over again and not getting any results. Let's try them again. And then I saw a message on the ACBL list that said somebody tried to call them and once again was told, oh, we don't know what you're talking about, which is some of the responses that I was getting. And I thought, well, you know, let me try them again and see what happens. And it so happened that I got somebody that the day before was in on a training session and was able to tell me exactly how to make it work.
Which is great.
And just a couple of pointers for Verizon users. You have to have an HD, that's a high-definition box, in order to make this function work.
Okay. And most of the boxes now, I believe, are. If they have replaced your box in the last couple of years, as they did mine, it is definitely an HD box.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yep. And if it is not, they will replace your box at no charge.
That's right. And they should know which box you have because that's one of the things that they always keep in their account information about you as
a
customer.
Correct. That's right. Yep.
So you call and, you know, just tell them if you need to. Obviously, if you can get a sighted person to come and read you the appropriate information on the box, that's wonderful. But you certainly can say to Verizon, and they really can't beat you up for this, that you really don't know, and please check your account records.
They've offered a few things. They've offered, A, to check to see that you have the proper box, and then if you don't, they will get you the box, and if you do have the box and have trouble setting it up, they will actually send a technician free of charge over to your home to get that turned on for you.
I have also heard, and the jury is kind of not fully in on this one, that they can set that up remotely. They can actually turn on, and I think when you tried to do that, Bob, they didn't know what you were talking about, right?
Well, no, he just said that he wasn't able to have that level of control over my box from a remote location.
I think.
Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, because
Well, it may have been true at the time, and part of the reason it may have been true is because he may not have known which menu to access. But I do know that they can play around with menus and turn things on and off remotely.
Okay.
It's one of the things they can do in the box.
Okay.
But you never know when somebody tells you they can't do something like that. You never know whether it's because they really can't do it or because they don't know how, and they're not going to say, I don't know how.
That's a good point. And it's unfortunate. I wish they would be honest about it.
Now, I took the shortcut, and I was lucky enough to be able to do it, in that I had some sighted assistance with that. I asked somebody to just go into the menus. I knew to look under system and then under accessibility, and I knew what I needed to look for, and what I needed to look for was text to speech.
That's correct.
Thing that you need if you're going to have sighted person help you. Text to speech is what they need to look for.
Yep.
Not language, not audio, not anything else, but text to speech. Once you get to the text to speech option, you have an on and an off. And as soon as you turn it on, the box will start talking.
It actually says text to speech.
Yeah. Yep. And from then on, you will not be able to get it to shut up.
Actually, that's not quite true.
No, you could turn it off again, but, again, if you're going to turn it off, you then have to be willing to turn it back on yourself or wait for somebody to come over and help you. And personally, for me, I just assume leave it on. Now, Bob, you're a channel surfer, right? So you kind of don't want to hear all that.
And I also have a sighted wife who doesn't care for it to be on all the time. So and it's actually worked out very well. She'll turn it back on sometimes. And I've actually figured out that if she forgets to turn it on, I can actually do it myself because I've memorized the proper number of keystrokes up and down and right arrow and such. And if anybody wants any assistance with that, feel free to contact me and I'll go over it with you in more detail. But it's, think of using the ATMs before the days when they didn't talk.
And of course, remember that if you decide to take that approach, there is the inherent risk that you will get lost somewhere in the menu structure.
That's true.
And even when the box is on, I've noticed there have been a couple of times when it has just, for whatever reason, gone silent.
Yep.
And what I learned, and you were the one that told me, Bob, is that the exit key is your friend.
The exit key is a very good friend. And one of the things that really you want to do before you do any of these things is to – and you will have to do this either with somebody sighted or perhaps with a customer service rep. They can talk you through some of this if you call Verizon. Get familiar with those buttons on the remote control, and some of you might already be familiar with the numeric pad to change channels and up and down channel and things, but there's a lot of other buttons above there, and you can tell some of you that are computer savvy will be able to recognize the sort of up and down arrow and right, left and right and OK button. Then there's buttons around those two, and you really do need to know what those do. There's a menu button, an exit button, and then there's an options button. Those are very important buttons to use. And another important point, and this is extremely important, do not expect this to work like your friendly screen reader on your PC.
No.
It is not nearly as quickly responsive. It's actually a lot more like using Siri on an iPhone, for those of you that have done that, because it actually has to go out on the Verizon service to use software in order to get the thing to talk. So it has to do quite a bit, which explains why it is a little sluggish and slow, and so you got to be a little patient with it.
The other thing to remember is that the people who design screen readers are very, very much aware that you are going to need to ask the screen reader to repeat things. The people who design this kind of are looking at it from the perspective that, well, it says what's on the screen. What they don't realize is that you might need to hear that more than once. So you develop workarounds. For instance, if I hear something that I don't understand in a menu choice, we'll say, I move the arrow, I press the up arrow, and then I press the down arrow to land back on it again.
You
and at that point,
it
will speak.
Yep.
So that's the kind of workaround that you have to do with this that you wouldn't have to do with a screen reader. But the beauty of it is that at least we've got something that talks. And I've got to tell you, it's nice to be able to pick a movie that you want to record or to pick a series that you want to record or to listen to the recordings that you've made? Because I've been very frustrated with having this wonderful thing called a DVR, and the only feature I could use on it was the one that allowed you to rewind through a show and go back and pick up a part if you missed it.
That's right. Oh, I love using the DVR. I do it all the time now. And just another workaround, if you put a channel on and you didn't hear what the name of the show was, and you wanted to hear it again, you just hit the play button, and if you do that, it will repeat that for you.
There is, by the way, if you're just watching TV, there is an information button that you can get the channel information.
Yep. Now, here's an interesting thing about the information button. It gives you some of what's there. It tells you the channel information, but there's a section in a little box in smaller print that, unfortunately, right now is not accessible for us, where it actually describes, like it'll describe a short synopsis of a movie, for example.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And hopefully some of this stuff will be worked out in future releases of the software. Because, you know, whether we realize it or not, Verizon is constantly updating the set-top box. And they do it online. And usually they do it, you don't even know that it's going on. It just happens.
Right. The things that work well are the functions to record and watch your shows on your DVR, the guide in which you can tell what is upcoming today or tomorrow, or I don't know how far ahead you can go in time, but you can do all of that. That seems to work very well. But yeah, it is really cool to use. For those of you that have Verizon cable boxes, I encourage you to check it out if you haven't already done so. You know, let us know how you're doing with it. You know, also contact Verizon. I've already contacted them, told them that I would like to be able to hear spoken the information that comes up in the info box that I just described. The same thing also, there is what's called a search function in which you can search for shows by title and genre, and you actually use a numeric keyboard to type something in, like the title of a movie. That right now doesn't speak either. And I'd like for that to be.
How did they respond to your request for those additional features?
They said that they would pass that along to their technical people and do what they could to add that in future updates. So they do intend on improving this.
Yep. I think it's important to contact them both for the features that we would like to see implemented, new features, but also to let them know that we really are using this and taking advantage of it.
And that we appreciate it, too.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And also, I think what works best, let them know what this allows you to do that you couldn't do before.
Yes. Yes. That's a big part of it because...
And I'll give you a good one. I'm watching more described television now than I used to because I can independently turn the thing on and off myself. The problem with leaving it on is because it is in what's called the SAP, there's a choice between English and Spanish, and you have to choose the Spanish to get the descriptions to work. Problem with that is there are Spanish broadcasts out there, and if you don't want to listen to the New England Patriots in Spanish, you got to be able to turn that thing back the way it was before.
That's right.
And just one more note. Charter and other companies have implemented some things, some of which aren't that good. For example, one of our board members uses Charter, and I was speaking with her. They've taken an Orwellian approach in that some Charter customers are more equal than others because some Charter customers are going to get to use a cable box similar to what we've been describing here. Others, including those here in Massachusetts, are less equal because they must use this laptop computer that they bring out to you, and it does not work with your cable box or your TV. So if you've got Vision, you'd have to watch it on the laptop. You have to use laptop keyboard controls, some of which don't work too well, and it's a whole big mess.
Are they doing that by going out to the company's website and turning things on?
I believe that's what they're doing, and they're actually bringing this thing. At least they're bringing it to people's homes and training them to use it. I don't know.
Yeah. And this may, in all fairness to the cable companies, this may be a technical problem that right now they don't have the resources to overcome.
Part of the problem is lack of standardization in the equipment that exists.
That's right.
So, yes, it is a technical issue. I would hope that it's something that they can get involved soon.
Well, hopefully 2017 will bring some changes in that respect. And it's the beginning of the year, and let's hope that 2017 is the year when set-top boxes will become totally accessible to us all.
And once again, I'd like to wish you all a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and thanks for joining us this morning.
All right.
You're listening to Council Connection on the Talking Information Center Network. The show also airs on the second Tuesday of the month on ACB Radio Mainstream at 9 p.m. Eastern. To download the show, visit our website, www.acbofma.org, and click on the link for the Council Connection archives. And remember that Council Connection is available as a podcast through iTunes, Google Play, or your Victor Stream. Now here's BSCB President Brian Charlson with a look at what's ahead for BSCB and ACB. Good evening, Brian. Happy New Year, and welcome to the first show of 2017.
2017. What a number that is.
I know.
If you had asked me just a few years ago, what would I be doing in 2017, I couldn't have told you.
Me either.
So let's see. What has happened since last we spoke? Did we speak just after the fall conference?
Let's see. I think it was just before.
Just before. So
yep.
we made it through the fall conference.
We did.
Well,
we did.
Attended. 40, 45 people there over at the Grosbeck Center at the Perkins School for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which parts you participated in.
Well, of course, the general session in the morning. And
that was great with State Senator Barrett there as our keynote speaker.
I was really impressed with him. I had kind of felt after I heard his speech that maybe despite all the doom and gloom, and I've been personally feeling a lot of that myself, but I felt like we had a little bit of hope.
Well, I like the strategy, you know?
Yes, that's what I like,
too. Kind of the when given lemons, make lemonade kind of thing.
Yep.
That was the core of his presentation.
Yes.
I was very pleased with that tone to start the day.
Yes.
And again, you know, even when we went into the breakout sessions, we had a well-attended breakout session on the ride Uber / Lyft project.
Yeah, I missed that one because I was in there with Frank telling stories.
As was I.
Yes,
was
I know. I know.
And we didn't win the prize, did we, Steve?
No, we certainly did not. But
we didn't. But it was a fun time again. So much of what Bay State is about is the social side of
things.
That's
right.
And it gave us a chance to just be ourselves and be social in that respect.
That's right.
I have to say, Jennifer Harnish, who did take the prize in that event, was amazing.
She was good. Jen is good at many things, but I wouldn't have expected her to be a good storyteller, but she proved that she was.
She did the job.
Yes, she
complete
did.
With sound effects and,
well, I think,
and voices. And
so as far as I'm concerned, the prize was well-earned and well-deserved.
Without a question.
Yes.
Without a question.
Yes.
So that was going on. We also had a Twitter session as a breakout.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended the day with a presentation by Jim Denham and myself on all things
Echo.
Echo.
Yes.
That was very well attended. I was pleased. I have to admit that I was a little worried that we'd have an early exodus, but that was anything but the case. In fact,
no, it looked
the crowd
like
got a little bit bigger.
I was going to say it looked like a capacity crowd for that one.
Yep. And all the devices behaved themselves. That is when they went all eavesdropping on us.
Yes. Yes.
And we were delighted that we had the opportunity to give away an Echo Dot.
Oh, good.
As a prize at the end of that session.
Do you know
it all went very well.
Yeah, do you know who won that? I'm just curious.
It was Jeanette Kutesh.
Ah, interesting. I saw her this weekend and she didn't even tell me that. How do you like that?
Well, you got to get her to tell you the story. I'm assuming that she and John were able to get it up and running.
Oh,
I mean,
think
between
so.
Them, they have more than enough tech expertise to
Absolutely.
Pull that off.
Absolutely. I'm not at all worried about that.
So that was the fall conference, and it seems like all we do is talk conferences, but we're well in the planning stages for putting together our spring conference.
Yeah, that's right.
I
went to see the hotel last week with Frank and Rick. And things seem to be moving along nicely in that direction. And, of course, we'll hear more of that as the month progresses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what other things are we planning on? We've got Blind Day coming up at, again, late March. So a lot of things happening in March.
And of course, And of course, before that, we've got the mid-year meeting at the end of February.
Yes, everything is piling up one on top of the other. I was looking at my schedule, and these things come in waves.
Right.
There was a 6-week period where I was in 6 states in 6 weeks.
I know. I remember that.
Then there's this nice gap.
Yep.
Other people might be frantic about the holidays, but for me, it's always the quieter time. Pretty much from Thanksgiving through mid-January.
Yep.
But then, like you said, we have the mid-year board meeting happening down in D.C. We've got what else? We just made plans. You know, Kim and I have been invited. She as past president or as current president of ACB, and me as first dude, along with two other ACB past presidents and their wives as guests of the Hawaii Association of the Blind at their 50th annual convention. So we'll be heading to Honolulu on March 4.
Well, now I'm officially envious.
There you go.
It almost makes me wish I had been president.
Yeah.
Don't wish
these things on yourself, Steve. Be careful now.
Oh, I know. That's why I said almost.
Almost, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I remember back when I was first vice president, I was invited to come out to speak at their convention. And being a born-again New Englander, if you follow me.
I do.
I'm the speaker, so what do speakers wear up to the podium at a convention?
Suit and tie.
That's right, as did I.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was the only one in the room, not only wearing a suit, but wearing a tie. The governor of the state sat at the head table with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was up there in my gray pinstripe suit, you know, all New Englandy, and they started putting lays around my neck. And before they took my picture, you couldn't see my face for all the lays around my neck.
Now, I have to ask you this. When you gave your talk, did you make sure that you started a couple of minutes late?
It's very important not to be time sensitive when you're in Hawaii.
That's right.
This is true. You know, the evening news there happens at around 6 o'clock. It's a way of life. So we're looking forward to that. And, you know, Kim and I do a lot of traveling for ACB in one form or another, and have for decades.
Sure.
So we do get the chance to do this. We don't have to speak. We just have to be charming for a day.
Right.
So that's going to be fun. You know, we have a couple of trips down to the D.C. area for one reason or another. We're doing some long-range planning for ACB, separate of the board meetings and legislative seminar. I'm really delighted that Bay State's been able to fund 6 people to go to this year's legislative seminar.
That's
you know,
quite
with
impressive.
All the changes in D.C., we've got to be building some new relationships.
Well, with the total upheaval in our political landscape, do we have different issues now to present at the legislative session? I mean, are we looking to focus on different things, or is it still pretty much the same kind of stuff, or what's changed for us?
Well, one of the things that we're going to have to really bear down on is how the Rehabilitation Services Administration, which is a division of the Department of Education, is going to implement legislative changes in what they call WIOA. You know, we frequently forget that, you know, it's one thing to pass a law. It's another thing to write the regulations to implement the law. And yet another thing to, if you will, enforce the law.
Yes.
So there's a number of things that are going on that I expect will become part of our legislative activities dealing with how the law was interpreted in regulation and an effort to get what they call regulatory relief.
Mm-hmm.
We're particularly interested in seeing if Congress will help us reinstate homemaker as a vocational goal.
I realized that that had been uninstated.
Absolutely. And that represented more than 20 to 25% of VR clients.
Wow.
Now, I don't know about you, but my mother would have been slapping mad had we told her that a stay-at-home mom was not an occupation that if she lost her sight, that the state agency wouldn't help her be able to keep doing.
That's right. That's right.
Not only that, but, you know, homemaker in vocational rehabilitation is kind of like in college an undeclared major.
Mm-hmm.
It's how to get you started. So a lot of people who are newly blinded, they don't think about ever going back to work.
Right.
Because after all, they're blind now.
Yeah.
They have to be in the system for a while to regain some faith in their capability.
That's right.
So there is not a status for that.
No.
In rehab. So that's why they've been using Homemaker for that. So I'm sure that that will be one of the issues we'll be discussing. Of course, we're going to be pushing for a couple of things because, you know, laws in D.C., people act like, oh, we introduce a law, and if it doesn't pass that year, well, I guess we don't get that. No, it has to be introduced and reintroduced and reintroduced over several years.
Yeah, every year is a whole new ballgame, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But each time you try to build up a bigger and bigger group of elected officials to go in there and sign their name to it.
Right.
So I'm sure that we will continue to deal with the low vision Medicaid legislation to try to get that demonstration project funded and off the ground. I think that that might, in fact, speak well to the Republican majority because it's a way of proving something's value before you make it part of the system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This isn't the same as, you know, checking out the sex life of the tsetse fly.
No.
We're really trying to see whether or not providing this will keep elders at home and independent.
As opposed to having them end up in nursing homes and that sort of thing?
Precisely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Precisely. So I expect that that will still be on there. Now, I know that the committee that establishes these things keeps saying, give us a little time. We're still catching our breath relative to our realities.
Yes.
I know that the American Foundation for the Blind is holding a legislative day the next day,
mm-hmm.
to our day on the Hill. We always go on the Hill on a Tuesday.
Right.
And they're going to be going up on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And they'll be doing the Macy... God, I can't remember.
Ann Sullivan Macy?
Ann Sullivan Macy. But there's a deaf woman's name in there, too. That deals with special education and keeping proper statistics to determine the division of funding for services for disabled kids in schools. They will be promoting that. That is a much higher, steeper hill to climb. It's hard to find a way that people aren't going to perceive that as a states' rights kind of thing in this Congress.
Yeah.
But it's still an issue we need to keep under their noses.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that our partners in much of our legislative activities, AFB, is going to keep that one alive.
Yeah.
So we do have six people going, myself as president, Deanne Elliott as chair of our legislative committee, board members Frank Ventura, and
I know.
Right, yeah, David Kingsbury.
Yep. I believe David is,
so far.
And you got four.
Yeah. And, we have a couple of new faces there that aren't members of the board. Cheryl Cummings.
Right.
Who right now is also serves on our legislative committee, but she's also chair of the BSCB awards committee.
And has been active in city politics, too, to some extent.
Oh, absolutely. That's one thing I wanted to mention with her on the list. And I'm embarrassed. I can't remember the name of the last person because, again, we're not all a bunch of insiders here. We're trying to mix it up a bit. So we have a young lady from, I believe, the western part of the state also as part of the group.
Yes.
But I'll get back to Cheryl here for a moment, if
sure.
I may.
Sure.
I was honored to receive an invitation in the mail to go down to the state house to see the electoral college process.
That's right.
Happened at the state house. And my invitation came from one of the 11 individuals who represented Massachusetts, and that was Cheryl Cummings, our own Cheryl Cummings.
Yeah.
And not only was she there as one of the 11, but I sat through the proceedings, and she was elected to be the co-vice chair of the group.
Mm.
She nominated another individual for another office. I believe it was treasurer, if memory serves me correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then she introduced a performer, the woman who is the chair of the Boston Commission on Disability,
mm-hmm.
City appointee, who has MS, mm-hmm. and she gave a wonderful poem. She's a poetess. So that was great. So Cheryl's name was mentioned not just when they did roll calls, but when they did elections and when they did introductions, all of that kind of stuff. Very much an active member of the whole process.
It's good.
Very proud to see her do that.
Yes, absolutely.
Mind you, I wish it were voting for somebody who won.
Yes, I know,
there was no question that she exercised her rights and responsibilities as a citizen of the Commonwealth.
Well, and that's what we all need to do on whatever level we can.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Looking forward to Deanne Elliott's leadership in the legislative arena, because we'd really like to get more of our members involved in the body politic.
Yes.
Out there.
Yes.
In their communities, at the state level, and potentially at the national level as well.
Yes.
Because, you know, if the only time you're involved is when you're asking for something,
that's not much of an involvement.
No, that's not much of an involvement.
It's the kind of involvement that tends to get people upset. And I think particularly now, we have a climate where if you're going to ask for something, you better have something that you're going to give back.
Exactly. You know, you need to be there. Again, I expect that this is also going to be part of the legislative seminar this year. We need to be looked upon by these people as experts in our areas.
Yes, contributing members.
Yeah. So that when they have questions, they can pick up the phone, drop us an email, and ask questions, not just when we're pushing information.
That's right.
But to turn to us to ask the questions.
Absolutely.
That's, again, why having Senator Barrett at our fall conference was so important.
Yes.
And I think you'll see us take more of an active role in Bay State in doing those kinds of things.
Well, that's excellent.
So also coming up here, we have an issue of Baylines coming out in early February.
People should be watching for that.
I'm so proud of myself. I sent my president's message way in advance.
Good for you.
And it's very much going to be about the fact that Bay State Council of the Blind is first and foremost a membership organization.
Right.
We should take pride in that membership.
Yes, we should.
And we should also be out there trying to, if you will, share the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of blind people who aren't members of Bay State who would really benefit from the association. So you'll see, I think, a bit of a membership-oriented issue of Baylines coming up, like I say, in February.
That's right.
One of the great things about this winter so far, Steve, can you guess what it is?
That we haven't had a whole lot of snow.
Precisely.
Yeah.
I just came out of a rainstorm out here. It just was pouring rain for about an hour.
Yes, yes.
And I said to myself, I'm not going to complain. If this rain had been snow, it would have been a foot or more.
Yeah, we'd be shoveling tomorrow. Maybe tonight, depending on how urgent the task is.
You know, as we're out there, as people who are blind or visually impaired, our neighbors are quietly watching us. And they can see that we're out taking out the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
We're out shoveling the snow. We're out, you know, trimming the bushes, sweeping the walks, going down to the post office to drop off a package, showing up at the polling place to cast our ballot, going to the restaurant and contributing, you know, to the commerce of our community.
Mm-hmm.
I think people frequently forget that there are silent watchers out there who are learning what blind people can do by seeing them do it.
Well, that's right. And we must show people the examples of that, and it's easy to forget because watching doesn't make any noise.
Exactly.
So, of course, you don't know that it's even happening, but it is. It is.
And you know, I've seen a lot of public service announcements on TV and listened to them on the radio about what great things blind people can do.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that says it better than having somebody see you doing it.
That's right.
Without you necessarily knowing
that's
that
right.
happening.
That's right. It's one thing to have a photo opportunity or a newspaper interview. It's quite another thing to just have people noticing it, that you're doing this at your house and nobody's there to watch you particularly or you know, talk about it.
Exactly. I was excited last night watching the evening news. A young man who was born blind was granted one of those Make-A-Wish Foundation grants, and they thought he was going to use his wish to go to Disneyland because he said he wanted to go to Florida.
Yep.
He wanted to go to Freedom Scientific and meet the guys who did Jaws, the screen reader.
Well, why not?
I thought that was such a good story.
Yeah.
It wasn't go to have a party. It was go to see somebody and some group of people who made his life better through their product.
Well, and there's a lot of people that, whether we think about it or not, there's an awful lot of people that who have done that for us. I mean, think of the whole talking book program, and for how many years has that run, and how many books have we read because there were people willing to sit there and speak for hours and hours into a microphone to make it happen.
Many, many things like that. So as we go into the new year, Steve, I think about all the things that I'm grateful for, and a large number of that, of those issues are things like that. The quiet people who didn't realize that they were the role model.
That's right.
The individuals who donated a little bit of their time because, you know, from each according to their ability, to each according to their need. Boy, can I quote, huh?
Yeah.
But it's a truism.
It
is.
It absolutely is.
This whole concept of giving forward is part of it as well.
Yep.
I have an interesting project I'm about to get involved with. Have you heard about the young man in Newton who, along with his friend, found a way to write up directions on how to build things out of Legos?
I think I have heard a little bit about that, but I don't know very much about it.
He was on the national news for having come up with this way to do Legos. Do you remember Legos? You ever had those?
Certainly. Oh, absolutely. So, I had them. You know, my brother had them.
Absolutely. Yeah. So these days, unlike when I was young, where you just got a kind of a box of all kinds of shapes and go for it.
They're much more sophisticated now.
They sell them by kits,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's all the parts you need to make the Eiffel Tower. Here's all the parts you need to make the Empire State Building or you know, the battleship, whatever it might
be. Right.
So he and a friend worked out a way to write descriptions on how to assemble these. And he and I are now working on a project we hope to launch come the summertime where we're going to hold a Lego camp.
Oh.
And bring young people together because Legos can be used to make robots.
Sure.
I mean, real programmable robots.
Oh, yeah.
And there are a whole bunch of these kits that one can buy that allow you to learn how to make circuitry. Mm-hmm. I know you're a techie electronics bum yourself.
Yep, I am.
So, you know, nowadays they have these snap-together kits to teach those principles. So we're going to put together a class. Again, here we have a young man who wants to figure out a way to make what's his passion of interest to others for them to learn pre-vocational kind of skills.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited about that.
I think that's great.
I bet you there are other people listening today who have interesting ideas and are simply looking for somebody to help them move it down the road a bit.
Yep.
So one of the ways you do that is you get involved with places like the Bay State Council and talk to other people who have similar kinds of interests and passions, and we can do a lot together.
Yes, we can.
Quite a bit together. We don't have to, although I don't think we're ever going to get away from a need to be involved legislatively.
Oh, of course.
And in advocacy ways.
But there are so many other ways as well.
And don't wait around for others to do it for you.
That's right.
Find a way to do it with others.
With others. And that's so important to the whole process.
Very good.
Well,
again, everybody paying attention. Look at the email and the mailbox. You'll see communications from Bay State for all of these things upcoming. If you know a Bay State member who might need a little help, you know, take a little time and help them out. If you need help, don't be afraid to ask.
That's right.
We're here as a community to help one another.
That's right.
And do it by way of Bay State. You know, we're more than happy to get out there and help out.
Well, Brian, again, Happy New Year to you. You've given us a lot to look forward to in 2017. And good luck with all of your travels and your projects. And we'll be looking forward to talking again next month.
You're listening to Council Connection on TIC.
Mary Heroyan is our recently appointed membership chair, and she joins us tonight to share some of her ideas on membership development. Good evening, Mary. Happy New Year, and welcome to Council Connection.
Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year to you, too, and Happy New Year to everybody out there in BSCB land.
Yeah. I hope this isn't true, but one of the Christmas presents you got wasn't a cold, was it?
Yes, it may have been.
You know? That's...
It was a delayed gift.
Yeah. the gift that keeps on giving, yes.
Yes.
So the reason that you're on the show tonight, I guess, is to talk a little bit about the membership committee, of which you are now the chair and have been since what, June?
Since June.
Ah, okay. Well, what's it been like?
Well, it's been interesting. I have a committee that I work with. There's I have Sandy Burgess, mm-hmm. Cheryl Cummings, Lillian Johnson, and Daisy Russell from the students.
Oh, good.
When she's able to come on board. So we've had maybe three or four meetings or so. And, you know, Kim and Brian try to tune in as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
I'm glad to hear that the students are at least nominally on board, and I hope that Daisy does get a chance to check into that at least often enough to make her point of view and maybe the students' point of view known to us. Because I sometimes think we sort of forget about the younger people in the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I know she's busy, you know, because she is a student going to college.
Right.
So, and she's, you know, president of the student group.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's got a lot on her plate.
Yeah.
So we've had some meetings and, done some, you know, sort of brainstorming,
mm-hmm.
You know, talking about ideas as to what we would want from a membership committee and, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, one of the ideas that we came up with recently was, having a statewide membership call. You know, it was one of the, you know, committee members had come up with that idea. I think it might have been Cheryl, actually.
Okay.
And I thought, what a great idea. And it's actually something that they do on the ACB national
yes,
level,
they do.
Too, as well.
And we've had some of those even in BSCB from time to time. I think when Bob Hache was president, he had a few of those, but it was from the point of view of talking with the president. And it sounds like what you're trying to do is a little bit different, maybe?
Yes. Well, this one, at least, the first one is going to be, you know, a conversation, and it's inviting, and we'll be doing, obviously, promoting it in different email lists and you know, places. But it's open to, obviously, any BSCB member and anyone else who might hear about it
mm-hmm.
who
mm-hmm.
wanted to call in. And it's a way for people to talk about, you know, what brings them to BSCB, why people choose to be a member of the organization, what membership means to them.
Mm-hmm. And I think we could have a different answer for every single person in the group.
Right, right. I mean, there's a lot of diversity out there. And,
right.
And even for people who might tune in who aren't members, you know, getting their input as to what they look for in an organization.
Well, yeah, because I think the last statistic I heard was that about 15% of blind people join any consumer organization. So really, if you take that number and for the sake of argument, say we cut it in half split it between NFB and ACB, and BSCB, that's not a whole lot of people.
No, it's not. Well, it's not. Well, by virtue of just knowing how many, you know, even legally blind people we know there are in Massachusetts, you know, that, you know, looking at the, you know, the register, we know those individuals are not members of ACB or BF, you know, ACB or NFB.
Right.
You know,
right.
So.
And that's probably not even the complete picture because not everybody's registered with the commission.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of people who are vision impaired who maybe aren't at the point of legal blindness yet, you know,
right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, so we're going to promote this in different places, email lists, and I'm going to hopefully get it on maybe the MCB telephone tape, and you know, it'd be in Bay State, Bay Lines Express,
yep.
So
yep.
And the BSCB announcement. So different places. So hopefully we can. Mm-hmm. You know, I have no idea what to expect. I have no idea how many people will call in.
Well, right, and you won't know till they do it.
Exactly. And I'm certainly not going to allow us to be discouraged if we don't get a good turnout because, you know, it's the first time.
That's right. And I think, you know, it takes time for these things to kind of catch hold and mm-hmm. have people realize that there are things out there and that they can participate.
Right. And I want people to know that, you know, if, you know, now that, you know, there is a membership committee and a membership chair, that if people have, you know, ideas or concerns about membership or just questions, you know, that, you know, we can be a point of contact for them, you know. And this type of call can be an opportunity for people who may not get to the convention, you know, the spring convention or the fall conference.
And it might even be give them the incentive to want to go to the convention where,
yes.
where before they would be hanging back and saying, well, gee, I don't know anybody and what's there going to be for me in this and maybe nothing. So why would I go? But
right. Cause we'll be able to, you know, certainly bring up the dates at least of the spring conference,
of
you
course.
Know, promote it on the call.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
And I think just give people the encouragement to want to participate. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of it. Even when you know yes. the dates, if you don't think there's going to be anything there for you, why bother?
Right. Yeah. So I'm, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm hoping to hear from people that maybe whose names only I know by name, but I've never spoken to, and get some, you know, dialogue, some ideas, some, mm-hmm. You know, feedback.
Now, one thing I've seen be quite effective in other groups is for people who are already members to reach out to new members or people that we haven't heard from in a long time. And it's amazing sometimes what you uncover just with a simple phone call.
Yes. And that is something that I do want to do as well. I've been able to actually just recently we had 3 new members come on board.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the chance to really speak with them, you know, and introduce myself and get them on board, you know, get their membership information.
Mm-hmm.
So making that personal contact. But, yes, definitely for people who you know, we know are still members but haven't, you know, maybe been to events, reaching out to them is something I would like to do, yes.
Yeah, or even I know that a few years ago one of the things Marcia did one time, there was when all of the publicity about cable boxes came up and there were audio-described movies and things, and she called a woman who had been having a terrible time getting her SAP activated on her box, and Marcia just kind of talked her through the steps, and they got it done, and this woman was so happy that she joined up and attended about 3 or 4 conferences just because of that one call.
Yeah, that's great. That's tremendous. Yeah, so that kind of outreach is really important.
Absolutely.
And when I'm feeling better, my voice is stronger.
Yes.
I'll be doing that, you know. Definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, you mentioned that with the cable box, we have, you know, certainly, you know, advances now with, desktop cable boxes, set-top boxes for both Verizon and Charter. So,
So Charter's doing something with that too, right?
Yes, it is. Yes,
uh-huh.
it is. We haven't yet called, to, order the, accessible product
mm-hmm.
Yet, but we will be doing that. We're in a market that we're not going to be getting the top of the line,
yeah.
as they say, product.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still will allow us accessibility. So
yeah, well, when you find out exactly what that is, maybe you can come back on and do a report for us on the show here.
Definitely. So with this membership call, it's going to be, we're going to have it on Tuesday, January 31st.
Okay.
At 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, no end time. We'll see how it goes.
Right.
And I'll be putting out the conference call number.
Okay.
I'll be putting that out on the BSCB announce list.
Good.
And I can certainly mention it now too as well.
Absolutely.
You know? Yes.
Absolutely.
The number to call will be 641-715-0700. So that's 641-715-0700. And the access code is 195104.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's good because, of course, you know, the thing that's going through my head now, as you say, we'll put it on various email lists, is how do you plan to reach those without computers?
Well, exactly. So obviously Council Connection is one of those arenas for
that's
people
what
who
we
don't
like
have,
to think.
Absolutely, don't have the computer. And the hopefully get it out on like the MCB telephone tape.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
And Newsline as well, maybe? Is that something that can be put up there?
I hadn't thought of that, but I can definitely check with Gina Russo see if that's something that can be placed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can't see why it couldn't be. I mean,
yes.
And that would increase your base of people who know about it. And that's what you really want is
for
big
sure.
numbers.
And on Monday, actually, this coming Monday night, I'm going to be on Perkins Radio.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. Yes, with Al Gasper.
Okay.
Which was not familiar with Perkins Radio, and one of our committee members, Lil Johnson, had directed me to Al.
Oh,
so
great.
I'll be talking about, the call with him on Monday night.
Oh, good. Now, if people want to catch you on there, how do they do that?
I'm actually not sure.
Okay. Well, I guess those that know will know, and those that don't
Perkins,
are going to find out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an internet radio.
Ah, okay. So
I think, but I'm not sure, actually.
So maybe if you go to the Perkins website, and hopefully there'll be something about it Perkins.org. And I'm wondering if there's even a phone number that people could call to inquire.
I certainly will get that information on Monday.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I hadn't even thought to, really find out what I assume Perkins Radio was an internet radio.
Yes, it is. I thought they had a little low power FM station on campus, but you know what? I'm not really sure about that, and I don't want to start spreading rumors that aren't true.
Yeah, well, they could.
Yeah.
They could, but I think it still requires a computer, is my guess, to listen.
Well, I suspect.
And
if you're very far off campus, that's certainly going to be the case anyway, because you're not going to get a low power station in Watertown if you're more than a few miles away.
Right.
Yeah.
So, those are some of the ways we'll be promoting it. If I think of anything else as the month goes on, we'll try that too.
Right. Well, this is great. I wish you the best of luck with the call, and I hope that some good ideas come out of it. And just for fun, let's give that number again so that people will know.
Sure. Yeah, the conference call phone number is area code 641-715-0700, and the access code is 195104. And that will be Tuesday, January 31st, so the last day of January, at 7:30 p.m. And hopefully we'll have a lot of board members on the call as well. Obviously it's open to everybody, so, we should have some good dialogue, good conversation, and we'll take it from there.
Absolutely. Well, Mary, thank you for joining us this month, and Happy New Year, and lose that cold.
I will do my best. Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year to you, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm Steve Dresser, and you're listening to Council Connection on the Talking Information Center Network. If you have any questions or comments about the show, feel free to leave us a message in the BSCB mailbox at 617-923-4519. This is our first show of 2017, and I'd like to leave you with a few thoughts on the year we've just ended and the year ahead. 2016 was a difficult year for many of us. We saw one of the most toxic political campaigns I think I've ever seen in my life. There was a lot of name-calling, a lot of disagreement, a lot of strife, a lot of outrageous behavior on both sides of the campaign. And by year's end, most of us just wanted the noise to cease. Now that the election is over, I hope we can put aside our differences and work together in 2017 to accomplish the things that are important to us. And with that thought in mind, here's Gloria Estefan to sing Christmas, Auld Lang Syne.
When mistletoe and tinsel glow, Peter Yuletide, Valentine, back home I go to those I know for a Christmas song. And as we gather round the tree, our voices all combine in sweet accord to thank our Lord for a Christmas on Auld Lang Syne. When sleigh bells ring and choirs sing and the children's faces shine with each new toy, we share their joy with a Christmas Auld Lang Syne.